today we have an opportunity. We have a guest speaker who I'm really excited for the opportunity to hear what he has to share with us. And this is Mike Tallman from, he's senior pastor at Set Free Christian Church. I keep wanting to mess up that title, down in Elma. And Mike has also, as a member of that, they've had an outreach for people, especially men who are involved in drugs and alcohol and other things, challenges of this life, which lead them to really have problems there. And they've done, from what I hear, a really excellent job, and I'm looking forward to that. Mike has also worked, many of you know, Mike Scoba, who's frequently here with us in the church, and he has worked closely with him also, working in the ministries there. Anyways, Mike is one thing here that, okay, impressed me. Mike was a concrete mason for 37 years, and it's especially impressive to me in that I've always wanted to do masonry work and stuff, and every time I try it, the end product looks like modern art, you know. It's and my wife encourages me to stop trying, so I'm learning that. So anyways, I hope you'll warmly greet and look forward to hearing Mike Tallman.
Thank you. I'd like to open with some prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord, and for an opportunity, Lord, to speak of your glory, your love, your grace and your mercy, Lord. It's all about your love today, Lord, and how you love us and how you care for us and, Lord, desire us to walk in freedom and truth. Lord, I thank you for that love because it casts out all fear. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my name is Mike Tallman, and I was born and raised in Tacoma, and I poured concrete for 37 years. But most of those years, I come from a broken family, and as a child, I looked around the world, and I wanted to know what truth is, what love is, you know, and people would tell me about things like honesty and integrity, and I just kind of looked around and went, well, where do they do that? You know, where can that be found? I believe in these virtues that the world has talked to me about and that my parents had talked to me about, and but I didn't really, in the neighborhood I lived in the world that I lived in, I really didn't see anybody doing it. They tell me about love and then my parents got divorced. You know, and they tell me about honesty and I'd watch them lie to each other. You know, they tell me about truth and I just get twisted as a child. I was like, man, why do they do that? And since then, I've come to find out without a relationship with the Lord, it's very difficult to do any of that. And so, what I ended up doing, was I became a drug addict. I started practicing when I was like 12 years old, and by the time I was in my 20s, that was my answer for all of life's trials. When things would get really hard, I'd go into addiction. But I always remembered those virtues that my family told me about. You know, that my mom had taught me and my grandmother had taught me. And so I still desired them and I knew they were true. And so I began talking to God about it. You know, because they had told me about this God guy. You know, and I kind of, you know, thought that, well, maybe God is just something that parents made up, you know, like all the other stuff that they told me, so that they could control us wild kids, you know, and manipulate us through fear and stuff, You know, maybe that's what God is. But when I was going through some stuff, you know, and my addiction led me into some pretty dark places and with some pretty ruthless people. And I began to see things that went, well, man, these people kind of enjoy doing evil. And so I said, note to self. You know, back in the day when they told me about God, they also told me about the devil and about dark things. And so I thought, these guys really look like they might be working for the devil. They enjoy doing evil. And I never met anybody that enjoyed doing evil. I couldn't correlate the dots. I couldn't get that to fit in my brain. You know, people that really enjoy hurting other people. I didn't. So I began to, at that point, talk to God and ask, you know, talk to the heavens and say, is there really a God out there? Is there really these heavenly forces that are at war against each other and that desire to speak to us and teach us? And God answered me. And I began to hear him talk to me in my head. And I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. It's pretty crazy, but it's kind of cool. And so I remember at one time I was faced with a day where I was pretty sure that these people were going to murder me and take me out that day. And I got on my knees and told God, I was like, I really don't think I'm going to make it through this day. And these dark people that are playing games with me, I'd rather die than crawl on my belly before them and allow them to walk on my back. And it was like a dome came out of the sky. And I was on my knees there, and this love came down over the top of me. And I was inside of it, and I was just embracing it. It was something I'd never experienced before, ever. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what was going on, but I knew something was happening. And when I was done talking with God, I got up and I noticed something had happened while I was in this. The only way I could describe it is like this love dome. And when I stood up, I had all this knowledge on spiritual warfare. And the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand though at that time. I didn't know. And so later on that day, one of these dark guys came over to my house to play games with me and threaten my life. And I opened the door to answer the door, and the guy looked at me and took 3 steps backwards. And I remember looking at the fella in the eye and saying, I'm not afraid to die. Are you? And the guy took off running across my front yard. And I couldn't understand what just happened. But I knew that the spiritual war that this warfare information that I got in my brain had explained to me that if even the only thing that these people couldn't do was steal my soul. They couldn't take it from me. They couldn't snatch the Spirit of God out of me. And that they could threaten me with whatever, even death. And they couldn't have it unless I willingly gave up. And so that was just kind of the beginning of my walk with God. And it was supernatural. And I wasn't, you know, the only church that I had was across the street where I'd lay on the porch and cry every day and every night begging for God to show me how to live a different way. And so years went on of me thinking I was some supernatural ninja with supernatural powers. But it seemed like things just progressively got worse and worse and worse in my life. And I never did, some people would say, well, if you were baptized in the Spirit at that moment, the drug addiction would be gone and all that stuff. Well, it didn't work like that for me. It was still a struggle every single day to survive. And so one day I was many years down the road later, I was at the drug dealer's house trying to get some drugs, and they didn't have any. And I was really upset because my heart was hurting, my body, I was hurting, I was a mess, and I needed some help. And this guy come walking up in the front yard of this house and looks at me and he says, "How you doing, man?" And I thought, who's this nut walking up on me? And I says, I can't recall having a worse day in my life. What's it to you? And the fella says, "Would you like to pray? You having a bad day? Would you like to pray with me?" I went, right here in the middle of every open in this front yard, pray. And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, yeah, I suppose I am kind of having a bad day." And we held hands right there, and then he prayed with me. And then he asked me if I was hungry. And I was like, "Well, you know, I haven't eaten in a while. I'm hungry." He said, "Well, would you like to come into my house? My wife's putting dinner on right now and have some dinner with me and my family." And I thought, what kind of nut is this? I'm a mess. I know I'm a mess. When I go in the grocery store, people kind of get scared because I'm a mess. And this guy's inviting me in his house with his family. And it blew me away. And I was like, well, you know, I got my dog with me too, and anywhere I go, my dog goes. I traveled with my bull mastiff. And the guy said, "Well, my wife's terrified of dogs." And I said, "Well, my dog cures people of being afraid of dogs. He's a perfect gentleman. He would never harm anybody." And so the fellow says, "Okay," and we go to the house, and he walks me in, and his wife is just like, her eyeballs are all terrified, and he walks over and whispers to her, and they kind of have words back and forth. And I said, can I bring my dog in? And he goes, "Yeah, bring in your dog." And she's shaking her head no. And so I brought in my dog, and my dog just, the kids just were like, "Oh, a dog." He had four kids, and they just jumped on my dog and were wrestling and playing with him and stuff. And the mom watched for a minute, and then my dog walked over to her and loved on her, and she fell in love with my dog. And then they invited me into the kitchen to eat. And they walked over to the corner again and had another little conversation. And I'll never forget this, because I wanted to know what love was for so long. And they had this conversation. And so she reaches in the cupboard, pulls out a plate, and the kids already have their plates laid out. And the mom takes his portion and cuts it in half, puts it on a plate for me. And I was like, wow, they don't even have seconds. That's it. They got one little portion. And so she cut the husband's portion in half to give to me and set it down at the table. And I sat down at the table, and the kids were watching. And they all started cutting their portion in half. And they're like, "Here, mister, you can have my half. You can have half of my dinner, too." And, man, that cut through my heart right there in that mess that I was at, where I was like, man, what is this? Who are these nutty people taking in someone like me? But the children, it was like, children are real. They don't manipulate. They just tell the truth. They don't do what I had seen in the world. They're real. And so it's like they can't fabricate this thing that's going on in here. And love cut through all the pain, all the stuff, and landed. And so this guy started discipling me right there on the spot. From the dope house into his house, and he began telling me about God and loving on me and discipling me. He said that I could live with him. And I was like, God, I'm a wreck. Are you kidding me? You got children. I can't live with you. But he offered. And so he gave me his phone number and we became friends. And he said, come by anytime. And I developed this trust with him. And whenever I was a wreck or having a hard time, I would call him and talk to him. And he started taking me to church, and I felt so out of place in church. But the people loved me, and they were good to me, and it was really comfortable. You know, I felt nervous, but it was comfortable. But he would talk to me and tell me of life and tell me of all these things that I had all those questions about. Take me camping. He took me camping. Took me river rafting. It's like, man, I've never been river rafting. And just started doing things with me and showing life to me that I'd never experienced before. And I fell in love with his family. And every time I'd go over here, the kids, I felt like I was Velcro, and they would just run and stick all over me. And he would always tell me of this place. He's like, look, when you ever decide to quit doing drugs, I'd like to show you that there's this place in Elma, Washington called Set Free. And they work with men like you. And he said that if I was ever to take you there, you'd have to promise me that you would give a year of your life to God at that place so that you could get better. It's like a year. Isn't there any like 2-week places or 30-day places? You know, I see on TV all the time 30-day places. And he says, well, not this one. This is the right one. This is the real deal. This is the place that will get you some help. But I won't take you there unless you promise to give a year. So I said, okay. Life got really hard one day. And I called him and said, I promise to give a year. I'm very familiar with the dark forces after the life that I had lived. And I noticed them getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And I could no longer trust my own thoughts. And I couldn't see how life fit together. And I was just at my wit's end. And I called him and he took me to this place in Elma, Washington. Dropped me off on the sidewalk and said, see ya. And I went in and there was a bunch of people like me there. And there was this big old burly biker pastor that gave me a big bear hug. And I was a wreck and they loved me. And they loved me. And they loved me. One of the things that the pastor would always say was, hurt people hurt people. And so expect it. And so everybody in there, you know, would be like mad and angry, and it's their pain, it's their hurt, it's the stuff inside coming out. And so I've learned that when I go out onto the street now and I'm working with street people and stuff, they're gonna try and hurt me, because hurt people hurt people. And so that's just part of the program. But now that was in 2001 when I picked up the phone and asked him to take me there. And now I'm the pastor there. All these years later, God had a plan for my life and I had no idea. And everything that I'd gone through, in Romans 8:28, it says all things God uses for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so he uses all that stuff now for me to love on the guys that come to our program. And one of the things that he's used is my desire for truth. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I looked, like I said, I looked at this world and went, man, why do they do that? Why do people act like that? Why? How come we can't just love people? How come we always got to be right? How come it's always about me? And so they began, they handed me this thing called the Bible at that church, and we started reading the Bible. One of the things that blew me away is in the morning at 6:30, every morning we had to be in Proverbs. And so 6:30 in the morning, we read the book of Proverbs, and there's 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month, and whatever day it is, we read that book. And so I started reading Proverbs, and I noticed it contrasts the way a fool thinks and the way a wise man thinks a lot of times in there. And I started noticing some similarities. It's like, wow, it says that the fool does this, and this is what happens in his life. And I started scratching my head going, wow, that's what I do, and that's what always happens. And so I started thinking, wow, this Bible might be, there might be something to this. Because here's an answer. It says, the wise man chooses this, and this is his reward. So if I start making different choices, my life could change and end up different. And so that began really making me hunger for the Word. And anyhow, here it is all these years later, and life is still a struggle sometimes. Things are way better than they ever were, and God's given me more than I could ever desire and dream of. I've preached in Africa. God has led me around. He's given me a beautiful wife that I... I could have never dreamed of. She's like all the stuff that I wondered about as a child, that I desired to know. And God lets me know now. He speaks to me. And anyhow, sorry for getting emotional, but I dreamt of this day as a child thinking, where's it at? And now I get to live it every day. And I get to share it with people. I get to share this life, this love, this experience, because it's not always easy, but it's good. It's real good. The poem that I wrote? Yeah, I've got it with me. Which one? Growing up and set free, coming out of the darkness into the light. Oh yeah, I've got that one. So I might read it. But what happened was I had these, okay, let me explain what I've learned a little bit. I grew up in a world, in the world system, in the world's ways, in the world's belief system, with the media dictating to me what to think, what to feel, what's real, what's true, and it's a lie. And so I used to lay hands on, we have a little boy that's moved away now and got married, but when he was little, I would lay hands on him and say, pray over him before he went to school, and he's like, Dad, you're such a fanatic. You know, it's God everything. I'm just going to school. And I'd say, you're going into the enemy's camp, son. You're going there to get an education, but you're walking into the world system with the world's beliefs. And if you don't take everything that they're teaching you and filter it through the Word of God, you're going to get taught a lie. And so you need to know the Word of God so that you can filter through all the junk that the world's trying to feed you. And so... you know, maybe one day he'd still think I was a little fanatical, but nobody taught me that when I was a kid, and I wanted to really make sure that I gave that to him. Like the first time I learned of what a blood covenant was, you know, and how sacred blood covenants are to God. Nobody told me that when I was little. You know, how all these different blood covenants, and there's a few of them, and they really mean something to the Lord. And especially the one about marriage, you know, when I learned that one, and man, I come running home. Hey, I learned this at church today. Let me share it with you, son. And, but nobody ever told me, you know, how God views these things. And until I came to this church and then started walking with the Lord and started reading this book. And so that's why today I wanted to share with you out of Ephesians 4 and 5, because I thought that I had a knowledge of how to walk in the world. And so there was this dude that I used to run around with all the time that used to tell me, Mike, you need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And I didn't know what that meant, you know, walk in the Spirit. Because to me, you know, a spirit was like kind of scary. And so now, if we can turn to Ephesians 4, I'd like to read a little bit out of Ephesians 4. But I had to get my all. The word says in Romans 12, 1 and 2 that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so my mind had been formed in the world system. And what's really freaky is there's a king of this world. And he's not this king of heaven. And so I was raised up under a different father, the king of the world. And so when I came into the kingdom of God, I received a new father, amen. Father God. And so he wants to teach me. He wants my mind renewed so I know how to walk through the world and not be of the world. And so that's why I'd like to bring this message out of Ephesians 4. And I'd like to start in 17. But first, let me jump over here to... I'm sorry for jumping you guys around. I think I'd like to jump over to Galatians 5 first. In Galatians 5:1, the word reads, "So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." See, I was in bondage before, and I was in Psalms 18. It really talks about, you know, when I came to the Lord, I was at this place where I was trapped. There was no exit, no way out. Except for the Lord. And so the Lord set me free from this bondage, and he's setting me free every day. But the word says that we're not to go back. Don't go back into that bondage. And so one of the things that I'm finding out is when I choose to walk in the flesh or choose to listen to the world and choose to ignore the still quiet voice of God, I can step right back into bondage. You know, and then be all bound up and talking bitter and being mean to people and stuff and not walking in the freedom to love. And so to me, bondage kind of means like bound up. Not because perfect love, like I said this morning, casts out all fear. And God is love, and he wants us to walk in love and to love each other. And so the works of the flesh are described in Galatians 5. And so this is what he wanted to save me from. This is what God has saved me from, this works of the flesh, and wants to save us all from. And so in 5:19 it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, covetousness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's the works of the flesh. But then it goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Now we can choose to walk in the Spirit, as that guy used to tell me, "Mike, you gotta learn to walk in the Spirit." And so the Lord's teaching me to walk in the Spirit, and he wants us all to do that. And so it says in 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. So one of the things that we do at Set Free Church is when guys come in, man, they've been in the world. They've been all dipped down and soaking and dripping of the world's ways and the fleshly desires, and they're bound up and they don't know it, like I was. And so we want the people that come to our church to walk in love and to experience the freedom to love. The freedom to love, love doesn't control and manipulate and try and get its own way and seek its own way. Thinks the best of everybody, not looking for what's wrong with somebody. And so this is one of the things that the church, that I just desire to see us as a church walk in, is that love. That love for each other. Not, you know, like seeking what's wrong with each other, or, you know, but what's good about each other, and speaking the best out over each other, speaking life over each other. And a lot of times in the world I live in, we can get lost and lose track of that and begin to say, well, you know, you don't know what he did to me. Well, or you don't know what she did to me. And so if we're walking in unforgiveness or bitterness or something like that, man, we're bound up. And in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, it says that we can get caught in the snare of the devil, where he can have us doing his will and we're thinking that we're free. But we're bound up again, caught in that snare. And so those who are spiritual are gentle and kind and loving with those that are caught in that snare, in hopes that God will lead them to repentance and the knowledge of truth, because the truth sets us free, so that they will no longer be held by the devil to do his deeds at his will. That's kind of my prayer phrase. But with that knowledge, we're to walk in love, in hopes that God does his job, we do our job, and love each other. So for me, if I'm not walking in the Spirit and I'm in the flesh, I just don't do love very good. I get judgmental, hypercritical, suspicious. Yeah, suspicious. The world I come from, I could be a little suspicious. And begin, you know, not really having that freedom to speak love over people and look for the best in them, because I'm bound up again. So in Ephesians 4, it talks about putting on the new man and to walk in that new person, which is walking in the spirit man. And so I'd like to speak out of Ephesians 4, starting in 17. And scripture reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And therefore, putting away lying, let each one of us speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace on the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And then the word goes on to say, walk in love. In Ephesians 5, the scripture reads, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And I'm going to read through to, I think I'll just stop right there for a minute. So one of the things that we deal with is we forget these things when we go through our daily life. At least I do. And so I got to stop, repent, and put on Christ again, you know, because sometimes when I take off that jacket and lean on the old man, like if somebody messes with my children or my family or my wife, it's really easy to think like I used to think. And then I have to stop, repent, and ask the Lord to guide me in all truth so that I don't act out in the flesh, don't speak words that I wish that I'd never spoke, and then have to, you know, seek repentance from people later on. But mostly because it profanes the name of God. And now I'm not being a good image, or I'm not portraying myself as a child of God very well. You know, it profanes his name. And so the biggest, the hardest thing for me to do is walk in a manner where this isn't a rule anymore. It's just a desire in my heart because I love God. And so everything that God's done for me, I can still step back into that selfish, self-centered guy and start crying and whining and going, well, I need this and I need that, and how come I didn't get that, and forget all about the grace that's been given to me and the love that he's shown me and the gifts that he's given me. But when I take the time to think about that and I'm in that thankful place, then I realize, whoa, whoa, Michael, God has done so much. And it puts me back in the right standing in my heart, where I'm speaking out of love for my neighbor as myself, and for God and for what the Lord's done to me. So now in Ephesians 5, I'd like to read verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whoever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you sleeper, arise from the dead, and give Christ, and Christ will give you light. So one of my favorite prayers is that, Lord, I just want to walk in your truth today, and your love, and your light, and your truth. And your love, and your light, and your truth. Because when I'm hiding things in the darkness, then the devil has a place to land, set up shop, and work from through my life. And, you know, that's easy. It's easy to get caught up there. It's easy to stumble there. And so my daily prayer is, Lord, don't let me give the devil a foothold in my life. And one of the things that we teach at the church is they used to take me when I first got there. You know, I was a loudmouth rebel. And when I first got there, they'd always say, okay, we want you to be a watchman. And a watchman, know if a brother's headed for a cliff, you expose that sin so that they put the light on it so that they can be saved from falling off the cliff, because it's easier to build a fence on top of the cliff than a hospital at the bottom. And so, they'd say that to me, and I'd look at them and go, you want me to snitch, huh? You want me to be a tattletale? You want me to tell on people, get them in trouble? And they'd say, no, that's the world's way of thinking. No, we want you to help save them from themselves. And again, in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, it says that we are to be gentle and kind in hopes that God will lead them to repentance, because with those who are in opposition to themselves. And that's the King Jimmy version. It says those who are in opposition to themselves. Opposition to the truth. But that was hard for me to swallow for a while. But now I really, really, really understand working with guys in addiction, because if someone's sneaking and doing things in the dark and we don't put the light on it, this is life and death. These guys are playing around with drugs and they die. Young kids. And so it's serious business. So for when I got taught this stuff, it's like, there's a reason behind it. It's not just because you want to get someone in trouble, but if it's in the dark, Satan can manipulate and use it. In John 10:10, you guys, anybody in here know John 10:10? Could you quote that for me, please? Yeah, he gave us to give us life abundantly. But it starts out saying the thief has one reason that he comes: to rob, kill, and destroy. And so as watchmen, in my world, we are our brother's keeper. And we're to watch out for people. We're to help them. We want to put the light on that darkness so that it can be exposed and the devil has no way to act there. Amen. So, I'm going to finish up here with the scriptures out of Ephesians 5:15. My Bible says, walk in wisdom. And Paul writes, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk on wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of God." Now that's a hard one right there. That's a hard one that I see people in the church that will lay down their rights for the guy next to them. Because a lot of times it's like, no, he's wrong, I'm right. Well, who cares who's wrong or right? Are we loving each other? You know, because my word says that God's big enough to sort it out who's wrong or right. But if we're walking in love and we're laying down our rights for each other, then there's room for God to sort things out. So I want to talk a little bit about what it says in the end of Galatians 5. I'm going to be speaking out of 5:13 through 16, back into the book of Galatians. And scripture reads, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And I don't know about everybody in here, but for me, that battle rages all the time between the flesh and the Spirit, because they're at war against each other. And I especially like when I get into Romans 6 and 7, where Paul talks about, you know, that battle inside to do what is right, and how many times that we can fail and fall down and do what's wrong, but he is faithful even when we're not. And so I feel grateful that God has called us and is going to teach us how to walk in love. For me, that's what it's all about. And I've desired to love people for a long time, but to love God, it was a new concept. Oh. And so it says in the scripture that we are to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's, that loving God thing is so elusive for me, because I'm such a self-centered, selfish person. It's like, well, what's in it for me? Loving God. Well, there's a whole bunch in it for me. But God is revealing that to me daily, how to love Him. When I think about how He's loved me, it's all about loving Him now. And has anybody got any questions, or is there anybody that would like to ask me anything about my life or about our church or about the scripture that we just spoke about? Yes, sir.
Do you have the poem? The poem.
Oh, the poem? Oh, yeah. Read my poem?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be sweet.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, actually, the Lord gave me one time when I was praying out loud, and He just gave me the whole poem. It's usually I think and I write and I touch my heart, but this time He just gave me the whole thing. And I just wrote it down. It was like a psalm. But thank you, honey. Thank you for helping me out here. I wrote this poem in 2003, and it's called The Lost. And I've been lost for such a long time. Whose life is this? His or mine? Reality changes with every breath I take. How far will I go? New choices I make. This new adventure fills my soul with fear. My spirit rejoices. God's presence grows near. I've lived many lives in this skin I call me. Scales fall from my eyes. I begin to see. Life, caged in material walls. Shackles loosen, curse crumbles and falls. Through new eyes I now understand. Long before me, God created this plan. I now live this new life, far from my old days. As I walk in obedience, God shows me His ways. His word, I thirst for more. What glorious works He's got in store. New creation in Christ, past is washed clean. Focus on the Son, new life has begun. By His blood I've been pardoned from my old life of sin. Divine intervention, God's grace is on me. I begin a new life in God's house called Set Free. I could go through verse by verse of this poem and tell you the struggles and the wrestling matches and the thoughts and the heart intentions and the stuff that I was going through as I wrote these things down. This is one of the things about myself is that anything I've ever gone after, I've pretty much accomplished. I've worked all over the world. I was a contractor for most of my life. But, meanwhile, I was a functioning addict. But every once in a while it would catch up and eat my lunch. But it was the stuff inside my heart that was really eating my lunch. And I'll never forget one day in that garage where I just called out to God and said, man, it's all or nothing with me, God, because I can't live with my feet on both sides of the fence. I can't be that way. And if you're there, please catch me because I'm falling. And I just stepped off the cliff and He caught me. And so, but life gets hard. And I've reached places, even in the church. I've heard people say, well, out there it's rough. I'm like, I live in a church. And sometimes even in the church it gets rough because it's all about what's going on inside our heart and what's going on inside the heart. And so sometimes the Lord will bring you to a wall, and the only way to get any further is you got to scale that wall or jump off the cliff again. And so I'm just grateful that He's always there to catch me. And if I get to a place where I got to step off that cliff again, and I have, He's faithful, even when I'm not. Amen? All right, thank you for letting me speak with you. Father, I just want to thank you. I pray that there was something said here today, Lord, that brings you glory and that helps your people, Lord. Lord, I ask that in all that we do, Lord, that we would truly know the height and the depth and the width of your love for us. The immense love that you have to give us, Lord, if we'd reach out and grab it and trust in you. Move our hearts, Lord, that we may love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, Lord, and be able to be one of them people that love is just dripping off of. When we go into the world, Lord, people go, what is that? Lord, let us represent you well, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't we stand as we sing this last song? Redemption is nigh. Look up, look up, hallelujah. He will come, he will come on the clouds in the sky. Even so, Maranatha. Look up, look up, your redemption is nigh. Look up, look up, hallelujah. He will come, he will come on the clouds in the sky. Even so, Maranatha. He will come with great power and glory, with a shout and the trumpet of God. When he comes, he will gather his children. So let's comfort each other with these words. He will come with great power and glory, with a shout and the trumpet of God. He will gather his children. So let's comfort each other with these words. Well, let's just, will you guys help me in thanking Brother Mike for teaching us today again? If our redemption is nigh, then we ought to be about God's business. Amen. So this week, why don't you walk in love, light, and truth, and let your light so shine that they may see our good works and glorify our Father. And I just want to say, if there's anyone here who's having their lunch eaten, you just want to speak to the elders. I think they'll make themselves available, or just speak with Pastor Mike. But don't let this opportunity pass to just settle accounts with God, get right with God, and move past it and walk in his light. God bless you as you go. You're dismissed.